Well, traditionally on the second Sunday of Advent, it was called Bible Sunday. And churches, of course, were asked to consider in worship and in meditation the role and the importance of the Scriptures, and to consider giving financially and prayerfully for the work of Bible societies and the distribution of God's Word throughout the world. When in the first century AD, Paul was giving advice to the younger colleague Timothy about the work and ministry, he said in the words that were read for us earlier in 2 Timothy 3:14 following, "As for you, continue in what you have learnt and become convinced of, because you know from whom you have learnt it, and how from being an infant you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." And then he goes on to explain, "All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Paul and Timothy, of course, didn't have the Bible in the form that we have it today, a printed book, 66 books bound and so on. Rather, they had scrolls. But they valued what they had because they believed it was an important for them to teach them and to help them in the faith. We today have the Word of God written down, and we have lots of Bible reading books and devotional aids and so on to help us in our understanding of the Word of God. I'm sorry to say that over the years, and particularly over the past decade or so, we have witnessed less and less appreciation of the Bible as the Word of God. Society mirrors that as a result. We see it all around us, everywhere we turn. The teaching of the Scripture is not adhered to in many cases, and society and behavior is not any better as a result. I read about a small town in Texas that had a newspaper, and the editor decided, largely because he needed to fill space in his paper, he decided to run the Ten Commandments without a comment, and he did. But many people were offended by what was printed, and one person wrote, "You're getting too personal." Why should we be surprised? I've heard similar comments from people here in North Antrim. Because the Bible, and many of the things the Bible says, it cuts right across our living. And it exposes behavior, and it exposes morality and truthfulness, and many of the things that people don't hold to these days. And many people are uncomfortable with what the Bible says. We take umbrage, like the people of Texas. We try to shun it, to shun the truth that is set before us. Listen, we'll all be offended at times by what the Scripture says. But that does not mean the Scripture is wrong. It means that we are wrong. And how often we tend to, say, take umbrage rather than believe it and receive it. Oh yes, we're encouraged in parts. And sometimes it challenges us. It challenges our thinking. It challenges how we live our lives, the way we act, and maybe more importantly, react. All Scripture is God-breathed. Useful for teaching, rebuking. Yes, rebuking. Correcting and training in righteousness. And so I'm asking you today, and those of you following online, what use do you make of the Bible on Bible Sunday, on every Sunday, on a daily basis? Is it something that is important in your home? It used to be characteristic of every Protestant home. I don't think, sadly, that is used to that effect now. Paul Hoey, writing on the subject, said, "Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them." You probably know that when printing press was introduced, one of the first books, there weren't the number of books there are now, one of the first books that was printed, of course, to come off the printing press was indeed the Bible. I read somewhere recently, and I don't know who said it, but this little cutting, and I want to share with you. It says, the Bible tells the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the fate of sinners, the happiness of believers. It's a light to direct you. It is food to nourish you. It is comfort to cheer you. It is like the traveler's roadmap, or the pilot's compass, or the soldier's weapon, or the player's game plan. The Bible is a mine of incredible wealth. It's a river of genuine joy. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. Christ is the grand subject. Good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. Read the Bible to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be spiritually healthy. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. Now, what advice did Paul give to Timothy about the Word of God? Let's have a look at chapter 3. The first point is this: study the Word thoroughly. Study the Word. He says in verse 14, as for you, continue in what you have learnt. And the word you is very emphatic and inescapable. You see, Timothy was growing up in a very much a pagan world in many ways. And all kinds of heresy and false truths and so on, false teaching rather, were bombarded at him. And here he was, Paul, his older friend, Paul was challenging him to remain constant and committed to the Bible teaching that he had received as a child. Study the Word thoroughly. Continue in what you have learned. That's as good a reason as any other for Sunday school and Bible teaching in all our church organizations, tied up with the idea behind covenant theology and the sacrament of infant baptism, the idea of passing on. Passing on from one generation to another, passing on the faith. Continue in what you have learnt. We know very well that childhood experiences have on society. Many people, sadly, have very negative experiences, and have adults have to fight long and hard to overcome those negative experiences of abuse or lack of love that some, sadly, had when they were children. But on the positive side, there are many who can point to a loving family. They can point to parents and church organizations that have guided them for life and helped them to be the people they are. We were taught at our mother's knee. Wordsworth said, the child is the father of the man. And it's a privilege to have a childhood where the Word of God is taught lovingly, effectively, graciously. And that is a blessing indeed. And I hope that that is your case, and hope it is, that you give thanks to God for a childhood like that. Clearly, Timothy here had such a privilege. He had been taught from infancy the Holy Scripture. We're living in days now when so many teenagers rebel. There are many reasons for that, of course. But maybe some of them were not given a good foundation at home, despite promises that may have been made at baptism. And for Timothy to have known the Holy Scriptures, as Paul said, it meant that his mother and his grandmother had given him the very best foundation that was possible. And then, on hearing the good news about Jesus, that knowledge was eventually changed to saving faith. Many years previous to all that, Solomon advised, Proverbs 22, verse 6, teach a child how he should live, and he'll remember it all his life. In Timothy's day, of course, the Bible, as I said, was in scrolls, kept in the synagogue. Young boys would have been required to memorize portions of the Torah from a very early age. There are many of us of my generation and so on who learned passages of Scripture off by heart. We used to have the ministers coming into primary school, and we have to repeat off passages and so on. Now, sadly, as the years have gone by, that kind of rote learning has been frowned upon. But what is the result? Surely the result is that there are many people in this generation who do not know the Scriptures. I recall in one of my congregations, I'll not tell you where, for this service goes out online, announcing a reading from Philippians chapter 2. We didn't announce the page numbers and it wasn't on screen. And watching the most educated person in my congregation at the time with a string of degrees, fumbling and fumbling through the start of the Bible, looking for the book of Philippians chapter 2, it was. We are living in a generation where many people do not know the Scriptures. And today on Bible Sunday, I'm encouraging you to really make use of the Scripture, to treasure it, to study the Word thoroughly. That's what Paul advised Timothy. Learn the Word thoroughly. Secondly, use the Word effectively. Paul declares that the Scriptures are written down are useful for doctrine and in practice. The Bible is not a novel like Mills and Boone or some of those other books that you may read. The Bible is a handbook for life. It's more than that. It's a directive. It has a correcting role, teaching truth, rebuking error, giving instruction. Profitable for teaching, correcting, instructing in righteousness. Sadly, towards the middle of the 20th century, there seemed to be in society a downward trend, and people tried to discredit the authority of the Scripture, the very thing that Paul warns about. He says that time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. 2 Timothy 4. Doesn't that effective? Use the Word effectively. Don't take umbrage at what it says. Don't blame the preacher when something doesn't suit. Use the Word to encourage you in the faith, to help you to cope with the trials of life, and we all face trials in life, to give you strength to endure when the going is tough, to help you to hold on to the faith that we profess. As people of the church, we need to learn not only to learn the Word thoroughly and to use the Word effectively in our lives, but also to share it in a good way, not in, sometimes the Bible is hammered down people's throats in a bad way, it's a negative effect. Use the Word of God effectively. And lastly, take the Word or apply the Word seriously. Verse 17. The purpose of the Scripture is that we may be well equipped for life and living, as well as for death and for eternity, that the man of God, or the person of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There was Paul challenging this young man, Timothy, not to treat Christian service as a kind of a hobby, but rather it was the vital key to life. And shaped by the Scripture as he had it in his time, thoroughly equipped to stand against temptation. Life was no easier in those days than it is today. To stand against heresy, to stand against error, and all the things that would hinder this young man, Timothy, from being the person that God had him to be. Take the Word seriously. We all want the best out of life. We all want the best for our children and for our grandchildren. We want them to have the best. And you know, life passes by very, very quickly. Here we are, another year has gone through. I'm retired now. I used to think it'd be great to be retired. You'd have time to do all kinds of things. That's not true. I say to people now, do everything you can before you retire. You won't have time to do it when you're retired. Is that what you found? Life passes through another year. Bible Sunday is a reminder to us that another year has almost passed through again. And the old hymn reminds me, and maybe we don't like to admit it, only one life, it will soon be passed. What's done for Jesus will last. Use the Word. Take the Word seriously. Let it build you up in the faith. Let it encourage you. Let it help you in your service for God, in the church and in the community, that we may be more effective for our Lord. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, as we study the Bible, as we let it mold our lives, as we soak it up, that we are prepared for action as God's people, as salt and light in the community. What do you think of the Bible? Is it something just as read in churches on Sunday? Or maybe as a present just that's given to a couple, the minister gives them a Bible on their wedding day? Surely it's more than that. Much, much more. In my role as clerk of presbytery, there's a passage I often read, and you'll be very happy to hear it read, I'm sure, whenever it comes to that service in Ballywillan too. I believe the Word of God is the only infallible rule of faith and practice, and the supreme standard of the church. It is the privilege, right, and duty of everyone to examine the Scriptures personally, and everyone is bound to submit to their authority. Those are familiar words. It summarizes what we believe in Presbyterianism, setting out the standard and what we hold the Word of God to be. That's where we take our stand. And so today on Bible Sunday, we're thankful to have the Scripture in our language. We're thankful to have so much to help us. We're thankful to have fellowship groups and churches to help us to understand it, to apply it to our living. May we, as we approach another Christmas, with all the special services and all the lovely music, and as we have a greater, may we have a greater appreciation of the written Word of God, and of course of Jesus, the living Word, who was made flesh and who dwelt among us. May that be so. Amen.